Grace to you and peace in the name of our Savior Jesus, to whom we give thanks today and always, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is taken from John chapter 6. We'll read verses 25 through 35. And when they found him, that is Jesus, on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because the Father has set his seal on him." Then they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Then they said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." And Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. The story is told of two old friends who bumped into each other one day on the street. One of the friends looked very sad, almost on the verge of tears, and his friend asked him, "What's the matter? What could the world have possibly done to you, my dear old friend?" And the sad friend said to him, "Well, let me tell you. 3 weeks ago, a long-lost uncle of mine died and left me $50,000. "That's a lot of money," the other friend said. "But 2 weeks ago, I lost a cousin I never knew, and then that cousin left me $100,000. The other friend exclaimed, "Sounds like you've been greatly blessed." The other friend said, No, you don't understand. Last week, my great aunt passed away, and I inherited almost $250,000. Now he was really confused. He said, "Well, then why are you so glum?" The sad friend replied and said, "This week, nothing." What was that man's problem? You could sum it up with one word: entitlement. He began receiving gifts, great gifts, on a regular basis, and instead of seeing them for the incredible gifts that they were, he began to expect them, and even became resentful when he didn't receive them. This entitlement mindset, this attitude, is something that unfortunately has permeated our society. It's definitely a problem in our country at almost every level. We've been so blessed in a land of so much, a land of plenty, and we're so used to having the things that we have and the great things that we've been given that we begin to expect it. We begin to think that we are entitled to these great blessings, all of it. As a result, we become complacent, and we even begin to complain when we don't have all the things that we're used to having, or at least not the things that we've had before. And if we even sense that some of them begin to be taken away and don't have the good things that we have, we may get even more complacent and complain even further. Perhaps the worst thing about having this type of entitlement mindset is that it makes us become very unthankful people. We're not willing to give our thanks or be grateful to anyone or anything in the end. Can you imagine on this day of Thanksgiving, if some of the people from different nations around the world, some of the poorest nations from around the world, some war-torn countries, would come and sit with us during a usual week and examine and just perceive our attitude towards the things that we have, or hear us complain about the things that we don't have? when we gripe about the type of country we live in or the state that our country is in, how do you think they'd look at us? Do you think they'd wonder, are these people crazy? You have no right to be ungrateful. You should be some of the most thankful people on the planet. Look at the blessings you have. Look at the gifts you've received, the safety, the freedom that you enjoy. You have every right to be thankful and no right to complain. You've probably heard the expression, attitude is everything. Well, it is no different when it comes to Thanksgiving. The attitude that we carry about in our lives, especially in regards to the gifts and blessings God has given us at every level and of every type, goes a long way in how we live out our Thanksgiving, or as some have called it, thanksliving, in our lives. It's extremely important to demonstrate the gratitude we have for God's blessings and His gracious work in our lives. And so we pray as we examine this sermon text for this Thanksgiving day that God would work in us a grateful and thankful attitude each day of our lives. In our text for this morning, we do find some people who had begun to get complacent, to feel a bit entitled around Jesus. This crowd is questioning Jesus. How are you going to prove yourself to us once again? If you take this section of verses out of context, it may not seem that strange that they ask him, prove it, Jesus. Prove that you can give us the bread of God from heaven. But if you know the context of these verses and what happened in chapter 6, you'll find that their words here are absolutely ridiculous. What had Jesus just done for these people that they followed him around the lake and met with him that next day? He had just fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children, with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And yet their attitude shows not only complacency, but entitlement. They had a felt need, the need for bread, their hunger in their bodies, while they completely ignored the real need that Jesus had come to bring them, forgiveness, salvation for their souls. It sounds so short-sighted, doesn't it, to hear these people come to Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior of the world, and beg him once again for bread, common, ordinary bread. Jesus, you are the master teacher. You are the Savior of the world. Give us more food. It sounds ridiculous. Jesus had to remind them of the importance of what he was offering them, the teachings that he had come to teach them, the salvation he had come to bring them, rather than just coming to meet their perceived or felt need for food. And so when these masses of people demanded physical food, he gave them spiritual food. He pointed them to the truths about himself, that he was the Savior of mankind, the Savior sent by God from heaven. He says in verse 27 of our text, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because the God the Father has set his seal on him." So when these Jewish listeners asked Jesus to prove himself by giving them bread from heaven, they pointed back to their ancestors, to what God had done through Moses to the children of Israel in the wilderness, giving them manna from heaven. Jesus again turns their thoughts to the spiritual food that God would give them through him. He says, "The bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So when the people ask Jesus for this bread, "Give us this bread always, Lord," he says to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst." By turning to Jesus through faith in him, they would never be hungry or thirsty again. At least not of the things that really mattered, the things of spiritual and eternal significance. How sad it is when God's children put their felt needs or their perceived needs ahead of their great need, their spiritual need for the bread of life, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only true need that we have, and the only one to give us eternal blessings, true joy, peace, and forgiveness. And yet we pursue so many other things, don't we? Things that in and of themselves are not bad. They're not morally wrong. It's not morally wrong to pursue a better job, to save up for a new car, to buy a better home, to have better status in life. But these should not be our focus. If in the process of gaining those things we neglect the importance of, one, returning our thanks to God and our gratitude to Him for giving us all those things, He is the true source of all those blessings. But also, if we neglect then the things that really matter, our spiritual needs, the salvation He has given us freely through His sacrifice on the cross. On a day like this, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is easy to remember the ways that we've been blessed by God. But we should always remember those various ways we've been blessed by God. Blessed in ways that are too many to number. And yet, how often don't we feel like the people in our text for today? Give us one more proof, Jesus. Give us one more sign that you are actually good to us, that you do actually care for us, that you do, in fact, have our best interests in mind. One more demonstration of your power. It's almost as if these people were viewing Jesus' ministry not as the soul-saving ministry that He had come to bring, but as nothing more than a magic show. They weren't satisfied with the things that He had already done to demonstrate who He was and what He had really come to do for them. They wanted more. What sign will you perform then that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Are you kidding? Did you forget what happened yesterday? Did you not see the miracle? 5,000 people, plus women and children, fed by 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And if you remember that story, how did Jesus show that He provided miraculously beyond what they needed? He had the disciples pick up 12 baskets of leftovers. And yet they're still demanding a miraculous sign from Jesus. Wasn't it about time they listened up and believed who Jesus was? Heard His words and said, "This has got to be the Messiah, the Savior sent from God." Wasn't it about time they showed Him some gratitude and thankfulness? Well, how about us? Do we find ourselves falling into an entitlement mindset, both in regards to the material and physical blessings that God gives us, but also in regard to the spiritual blessings He gives us? Taking for granted His presence, His forgiveness, His love that He shows to us, that it's always, always there for us. Do we always look to Him and view Him as we should, as our Savior, our loving Savior who gives us all those blessings, most importantly, the spiritual ones? Do we remember to show our thanks and gratitude to Him for the many gifts He's given to us, especially that forgiveness and eternal life He's given on the cross? Well, perhaps the problem is, and I would guess this is a very real difficulty for a number of us here this morning, perhaps the problem is that we don't feel too blessed on this Thanksgiving morning. Maybe it is hard for us to see the gifts that He's given this morning because of the grief and pain that we are feeling in our lives right now. Maybe it's hard at this point in our lives to see the blessings that God has truly given to us. Maybe our problem is like the people of our text, and maybe the problem is with us like many of the people of our day. We've been blessed so greatly and blessed so often that we don't even notice them, and those blessings just don't look as good anymore. How can we overcome that type of mindset, that type of entitlement attitude, apathy toward God and His great gifts? How can we move toward a true spirit of thanksgiving in a society and in a world that is full of unthankful people, that teaches us constantly to strive to compete for more stuff and more status? Well, the answer, of course, is found in the one who gives us those gifts. The answer is found in the giver, not the gifts. Turn to Jesus. He can and He will work in our minds and hearts a better recognition of His gifts and a better appreciation of His gifts. He can instill into our hearts and minds an attitude like King David, who wrote in Psalm 103, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Forget not all his benefits. May the Lord move our hearts to not forget, but to remember and recognize all his benefits. To recognize God's blessings in their many forms. To give thanks to him even when it seems or feels impossible to do so. To recognize some of the blessings that we've taken for granted. How many of you remember to thank God for running hot water when you took your shower this morning? If you took a shower this morning. How many of you thanked him for heat, for electricity, for a vehicle that runs, for a place to worship that we don't have to sit in fear of someone coming in to harass or possibly arrest us? To focus on what we have rather than what we don't have, and then see if that doesn't improve our attitude. To be thankful for the things that we don't normally think to be thankful for because they don't seem like things we should be thankful for. To be thankful for the difficult times because God uses them to help you grow. To be thankful when we recognize our weaknesses or our limitations because God uses them as opportunities for improvement and also uses them as opportunities to show his glory, not ours. To be thankful for our mistakes and our failings, because God often uses them to teach us valuable lessons. It is so much easier to be thankful when times are good. Very easy to be thankful on a day of Thanksgiving and in the good times. But being thankful even for the setbacks, even during the setbacks, that is an attitude only God and his Spirit can work in us. And remember, God has promised to work all things, even the bad things, even the tragic things. He's promised to work out for our good. As hard as it may be thankful for your difficulties, because God can and does turn them into blessings. As we look around at the land of plenty, at the life of plenty that God has given to each one of us, may we see through new eyes that God has blessed us. And may we never take Jesus or the many blessings he gives us for granted. This year and today as we celebrate Thanksgiving, may each of us remember to see Jesus for who he really is and for what he has really done for us. And thank him also for what he has made us. People who are his children, children of God. People blessed beyond measure. And people who should be thankful for the gifts that the good giver gives us. We have been blessed with that bread of life, Jesus Christ. We know that bread. We've eaten it and partaken of it for ourselves by faith. And we've had our hunger and our thirst filled. May we now be truly thankful to our God and Savior, who deserves our thanksgiving for everything. Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.